Okay, do we have any prayer requests that we need to bring before tonight that maybe we missed last night or has come up since then? Anything? Seems to be in prayer for Jerry. He's feeling a lot better, but not fully recovered, so be in prayer for him. And continue to be in prayer for Jim Passmore. Remember his birthday was last month, and he's still feeling the effects of it. Gone. Done. Jack Benny always usually related to ladies, but over the whole period of radio, those of you remember Jack Benny, was he was always 39. Never got any older than 39. No, I don't mind being my age. Got? Do what? Father? Don't forgive them because they know what they're doing. all right. You young whippersnappers, Dave, don't know what we're talking about, Jeff. Let's continue to remember the things in news that we have mentioned last night to be in prayer for. And those that are in our own assembly that under various battles and various testings. Let's prepare ourselves for getting into the scripture. And again, faith and love. I suppose, no suppose about it, these because they're in every, they're the crux of all of the stories in the Bible and all of the accounts in the Bible, because it was that love that of God that reconciled us to God. And that is why it is the goal of the believer's life. And that love comes to us by our faith. So you put those two together and you have the fullness of understanding the Christian life. But the problem is not understanding it. So many people think they see it. They don't. And this is, again, why you spend time in studying so many people's lives in the Bible, but it isn't to get them saved, salvation one. It's to get them to salvation two, and not salvation one. And God sent the demon to follow Paul around. It wasn't to get Paul saved, salvation one, to get him and keep him in salvation two, walking by faith. So it is an area of great battle. In the Bible, it just doesn't seem like salvation one is the battle in regard to what so much of the Bible is about. It's about those who do come to Christ and do come into relationship with God, getting them where God wants them to walk by faith and to allow Him to reveal His glory in their circumstances. So let's prepare ourselves for then seeing these things in Scripture and looking at a lot of different passages in different places now. I'll be honest with you, those of you that are kind of wondering. No, I have, you know, usually we go verse by verse, and that's what we're doing in 1 Corinthians, but I haven't gone this way, these verses we're looking at, and we have not studied them before, and it just seems to be this is the way I'm led when I sit there and study. So these are new things, and putting into perspective new, we're seeing new things in regard to what this love will do in regard to human relationships. Which is where the real battle is. As I said, there are a lot of cool things in Scripture, a lot of wonderful things to know and to study, and at all the rapture, and then the mid-tribulation, and then near the end of the tribulation, and the second advent, and these are all exciting things, but they're not going to be the thing that's going to carry you in a confrontation with husband, wife, or our friends in life, or work, social life, and just going through life itself. So, let's spend some time together preparing ourselves for the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us. Let's pray. Father, we have the hope, the expectation, the confidence that if we walk by faith, that this love will flow through us. And we live in that constant hope and assurance, Father, of seeing this love flow through us and seeing your righteousness in us, Heavenly Father, in an experiential life that we live here on earth. And as we understand and allow your Spirit to reveal more of what we should expect and what we have that hope and expectation of as occurring in our lives, Father. So we pray that your Spirit now will guide us, Father, into these passages. Pray, Father, that it will give me wisdom and it be your Spirit speaking through the right words to make these things clear and so that in simple, Father, that we might understand them and have them become a part of our life. To this end, Father, we humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul's book to the Romans. Paul's book to the Romans. The Romans were doing it right. This is one of those groups that there's not a whole lot of chastising, because he actually says that they were doing it right. So now we'll spend some time going through Romans, but they were doing it right, and it's a very beautifully laid out book. It's not a difficult book to flow through. I think the most difficult book to study in Scripture, if you like an outline type of study, is the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul just seems to be rambling in 2 Corinthians. There's no order. He's writing a personal letter, and he just has things sitting. He'll go way off on this little trip and then come back to something, and it's just difficult to outline it. But Romans is rather simple, and now we're in the section dealing with the inner relationship of believers. The first part of the book deals with the unbelieving Jews and Gentiles. Then he goes through believers trying to grasp and understand the spiritual life. That's where he goes in before he introduces it. He goes into the discussion. I tried to live the Christian life, this new life, by the law, by doing. And every time I do, I don't do what I want to do, and that's where all that comes from. He's trying to live the Christian life by the law. So I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, and the law is his whole framework, which leaves him in a totally disgusted area where he just finally says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, what's gonna deliver me from this?" And then that's when he goes into chapter 8, which is the spiritual life. Then he goes through, in our study, the interrelationship of believers, Romans chapter 14. So let's look at Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, and look at chapter 14. Romans 14. All right, Romans 14, and we are in the midst of looking at verse 15. And just taking out some of these things so that we can see these in operation. Now, remember, what we're looking at is the inner relationship of believers. So we're talking about the human relationships that we have in life. And this is where so often a lot of our test is involved, is in human relationships. Once in a while it deals with finance. Once in a while it deals with illness and sickness our own or something. But even those eventually take us into the inner action, inner relationship of husband and wife, children, family members, friends, and then, of course, in the local church, it really picks up in intensity. Intimate relationships, distant relationships, and just getting along with each other. And what's going to guide us in all of the confrontations and all of the circumstances that come up in Satan's world and dealing with each other. And this is what we're looking at in some of these verses. And so, in verse 15, "For if because of food your brother is hurt." Now, I have it later on in the notes, but let me just talk with you in this. Note the weapon. The weapon is food. And it can be anything that will hurt another born-again believer. It can be a lot of different things that will hurt another believer. But here it's food. In other words, it's my freedom, what I have a right to do. All right? For if because of food your brother is hurt. So often we, and I'm guilty of this, so often we say, well, it wasn't sin. And so if it wasn't sin, then it isn't that big of a deal. Oh, yes, it is. You can take something that, according to what is within the framework of a believer's rights, and it not be sin. But when another believer is hurt, he's taking it into a new area of sin. So, for if because of food, something as simple as that, that weapon, your brother is hurt. And we left off last week with, you are no longer walking according to love. You are no longer walking according to love is where we had to leave off. You are walking. Here's the interesting thing here is that the no longer. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that these believers were walking correctly. They were doing it right. They were walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and therefore spiritual love was flowing. But no longer. And you stop walking by faith. You stop walking by trusting the Spirit. And you decided not to do so. And a great number of damage occurs when you and I decide to stop walking by faith. In other words, what is the decision that we make? We're walking by faith. What is the ultimate decision that we make when we stop walking by faith? The decision that we have made now is to be in the dependence of God. That is what you decide to do. That's why this is arrogance. Arrogance, if we wanted to bottom line without writing an essay, 50-page essay or 25 points, what is arrogance? Very simply, arrogance is independence of God. And if we think about it, what is the arrogance of a child? Independence of the parent. Independence. I am my own entity. I'm the only one that exists. And everything else is for me. So what happens is, when we stop in our own personal life, just, I know we don't want to admit it this way. No. Yes. You were walking by trusting Him. You stopped trusting Him. What did you decide to do? To be independent of God. I am going to solve the problem my way. I'm going to handle it where it fits me. That's the way I think it should be done. I don't like the time that God's taking and getting it taken care of. So I'm going to speed up the process. I don't like the way God is handling it or apparently is handling it. So I'm going to step in. I'm going to work for God here. I'm going to do for God what I know God wants done sometimes. I'm going to take over. But whatever the case is, independent of God, and I'm going to handle it. Now, once we make that decision, a great number of damage has occurred. Now you're into damage. Not damage control. Walking by faith is damage control. What you're now going to do is you're going to do damage to, first of all, to yourself and your own relationship with God, and you're going to do damage in your relationship with others. And here in our study, you hurt them. You actually hurt others. And, of course, the arrogant answer is their problem. That's their problem. Let them learn some doctrine and they'll see I have a right to do this or whatever it might be and go get help somewhere. But in this case now, they were walking. They were walking in spiritual love, but they are no longer. Now, you as one in Christ, no longer walking in love. Now, we looked at walking. It's a present active indicative, and the reason I point that out is the present indicative denotes your daily life. Denotes day in and day out the mundane, the great issues that happen in our life are the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk. This is used for our daily life. It goes back to where you make a decision where you are going to handle it yourself. I'm independent of God, and I'm going to take care of people. That's what sin is. I don't care however you want to think about it. When you and I sin, we are saying, I'm independent of God. Or, making it more dramatic, when you and I decide to be independent of God, sin is going to result, and we are going to hurt others as well as our own spiritual life. So this goes back to that point. Your walk, the decision that you make, determines so much about your life, people. But right now I'm concerned about this. There are a lot of things I could talk about your walk, if you're walking in the Spirit or not in the Spirit, walking in love or not love. Right now, I want to concentrate and zero in on one, human relationship, your relationship with others. because often arrogance is a great key in dealing with others, because arrogance deals with me. I'm the one important here. What about me? What about my rights? What about my person? What about my welfare? So you make a decision, and that decision to walk in faith or not walk in faith has everything to do with your happiness, your enjoyment of life, your friends, romance, finance, all of these things. So it has all of these things. So he says you are no longer walking according to love. The preposition, according to the force. In other words, you're not guided by the force of spiritual love. And so therefore, you're going to hurt others. Spiritual love, now we talked about the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love will guide in dealing with human relationships. And this is what this passage is about. Now, what we left off was looking at some passages, and I want to get back to that now, in dealing with walking. And the reason I want to do this is because, one, it's been a long time. Well, one, it's in our passage, but it's been a long time since we've looked at this. But I did a long doctrine, and I pulled them all out and looked at them. And boy, we went through all of the different kinds of walking that are in Scripture. And this time, I just sat there and had it out there on my desk, was looking at the verses, and rather than just give you a long list, and what happens with a long list is, it's like if I list this and this and this and this and this and this and give you the passages, kind of looks like you get the sense they're independent. You know, walk in this, walk in this, walk in this. These are verses. Walk in whatever. And you get the idea, okay, I'm supposed to walk in this, I'm supposed to walk in this, I'm supposed to walk in this. And then we become conscious of the various things we're to walk in. And what happened to me this time? In studying it and allowing, just putting these things out and start looking at it, they're all interrelated and they are, in effect, people, they are all saying exactly the same thing. So let's take a look now in our study. And I know we left off at about the third or fourth one, but let's just get the momentum, because this is your life, people. You know, I haven't heard it from y'all, but I used to hear a lot. You know, we're taking a long time here, we're taking a long time there. My point is, where are you in a hurry to get? What I'm dealing with is your relationships with every person you come in contact with in life. I want to know what's more important than that for you, day in and day out, when you and I have to deal. And I keep emphasizing the you know, intimate relationship, but just go to the grocery store, go to the beauty places that you go to the various shops, driving, by buying things. These are interrelationships that we have. And when things go wrong, that with a car or with a house or something, and then someone comes in, and that puts us into a contact with a new relationship. So I'm dealing with something, people, that to me is fundamental to when you open your eyes in the morning. Now what I want to do is go through the scriptures and see what are all of these walkings talking about. What is a common stream, a common dimension, spiritual dimension, that's running through all of these that we haven't really noted before in this study. And we have eight areas of where we're walking, or nine areas, so let's take a look at them. First of all, it says to walk. Now, all of these are walk. And again, I hope everybody's clear, this refers to your daily life. This refers to day in and day out in our daily life, or just the walk of your life. You know, if you're into a various type of taking care of your health and all, it's got to be a walk. We would use the word biblically of walk. It's a daily walk. Your daily walk. How you eat, what you eat, and when you eat, all these kind of things. It's not something that you just concentrate on, you know, for a short time and then let it go. No, it's got to become part of your walk. That's what this word means. What's part of your daily life? You just get it into the momentum so that it almost carries itself. Okay? For a while, you have to concentrate on it. It's like learning how to walk. It's fun to watch a little infant maybe learn how to walk. Courtney, David, and Stephanie's little girl getting there. So it's fun to watch their fall. And while they hurt, it's fun. We laugh because, you know, they don't crash out. They just fall and they lose the balance and all. So we concentrate. But after a while, it becomes a flow. You don't really think about it. That's what this is talking about. And so these are things that should occur throughout our life. First of all, we're going to start, and the reason I want to start with this is not just because it fits my well, I want to arrange these where it fits what I want. The first one is in the first book Paul wrote. It's in the first book that Paul wrote. And that's Galatians, where he lays down the primer for all of his writings. And in Galatians 5:16, he says, walk in the Spirit. So the first place we walk is in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So here, let's take a look now. Let's turn to Galatians. Let's just take time, because this is your walk. If we were, we all know that Chris is in the health business, so if we were here tonight and for that, and she would stand up and go through a whole deal with it. Well, this is our walk in the spiritual realm, so let's look at it in that sense. So let's start off turning to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16, the first epistle that he wrote, and it's the primer for all of his writings. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, where does the but come from? Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, people, there's nothing like seeing Christians go after Christians. I mean, the lions going after lions have nothing on us. Christians going after Christians is unbelievable. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Now, verse 16. But I say, in dealing with one another, walk by the Spirit. This is what I say. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's desires that are in you. Be sure you understand that. Those are desires that are in us by the flesh. So he says, but if you will walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out those desires. Just get you thinking with Paul. I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. What's he saying? Well, the flesh has its desires. They're always there. And so then you walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, we've answered it already. But you walk, how? What is the mechanic of walking in the Spirit? What's the mechanic? Faith. You have your faith is directed toward God the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in His power. Walk in the Spirit. Now, the second one says that. There's the first one, so there's our second one now. Walk in faith. Walk in faith. Let's take a look at it quickly. With this one we also did. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That the hodgepodge of Paul's personal writings. We were studying 2 Corinthians not long ago, I think in the early 90s, and I'm sorry I stopped because it was really wonderful. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, 5:7. That's right, Jim. We didn't change it from last week. You really want to point it out. 5:7. 5:7. Not 17, 5:7. And so in 5:7, it says, before we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by sight is walking by the law. Walking by sight is walking on the cosmos, in the cosmos according to law. See? Now, it's walking in that spiritual realm. Before this, he's talking about going home. Like in verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, because we are absent, get it? Since I am absent from the Lord, I'm going to have to walk by faith because I'm absent. That's why when you and I go into eternity in our resurrected body, faith and hope fade away. Love remains for all eternity. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love will be for all eternity. So, but now since I am absent from the Lord, it tells you why faith. since I am absent from the Lord, I walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by faith, verse 8, we're of good courage. So, we walk by faith. Now we come to the third one. The third one, I want to jump to a very strong one here. The third one, and I know what the way I gave it last time, but I'm reversing the order in dealing with the way John wrote it. So the third one, if you had your notes from last week, this is the fourth one. I think it's as far as we got. But let's put the third one, walk in light. Walk in light. And this is 1 John 1:7. So let's turn to 1 John 1:7 and see what John adds to this dimension for us. 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, two things will happen. We have fellowship with one another. People, God cares so much about your fellowship with each other. And he's going to make it, Satan's going to make it difficult. Life's going to make it difficult. A lot of things come into play to try to neutralize fellowship with one another. Everything from sin to personalities, circumstances, all these things come into play. But if we walk in the light, one, we have fellowship with one another, and two, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we've dealt with that. Now, so we walk in the light. Now, what is walking in the light? Really, if we wanted to, it is a combination of these two. If I'm walking by faith, directed toward the Holy Spirit will cause us to walk in light. And therefore, we're walking in the glory of Christ. We're walking in the illuminated way. Now we come to the fourth one. And the fourth one says, walk in truth. Walk in truth. All right, let's see where this fits into our whole deal. But I want you to see how these are all connected. They're not different or they're not disconnected. They're all saying the same thing. Now, let's look at that. Walk in truth, 3 John. So if you're 1 John, go over 2 John, you come to 3 John. Short little letter. All right, 3 John, and look at verse 3. For I was very glad when brethren, believers, came and bore witness to your faith. That is, bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. Now, what is walking in truth? We already know that the truth is we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in faith. So that is, right there, the truth. If somebody says I'm walking in something else, they're not walking in truth. The truth of Scripture is we are to walk in the power of the Spirit, and we do that by faith. That is the truth, and that's what he's here saying. This is what he's saying. And in dealing with this truthful relationship with God, it's a truthful relationship with God. I'm not walking in my work. I'm not walking in law. I'm walking in a truthful relationship with God. Sometimes we say, we use an English word, to express it, if you are really doing faith. Well, Paul would say, John would say, if you are in truth, walking in faith. And that meaning, if you are truly walking in faith, in the truth, if this is your true relationship with God, this is the truth of your relationship with God, you are trusting the Holy Spirit in this walk with God. That's what he's dealing with in truth. So it stays, it keeps us right in the same manner as these other things that we're noting. All right, 5. The fifth one. And I'm not going to hold any out. We're looking at the ones listed in Scripture. The fifth one, walk in the newness of life. Walk in the newness of life. Okay? Let's try and see what we have there. In the newness of life. Again, this refers to spiritual life. Romans 6:4. Romans 6. Let's take a look at it and see what he's saying. Back to Romans. Romans 6:4. Okay. Now watch this. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So we have been crucified with Christ. In order that we have to be buried, this gets back to that seed that we studied at Easter, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Now, what has to happen, what he's saying is, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism and the death in order that. That goes back to the seed. The seed, in order to rise up and be productive, must fall to the ground and die. And then it is able to do it. This is the same type of thing you're seeing here. So he says, baptism and the death in order that, for this purpose, that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Now, what is the power that resurrected Christ from the dead? It was God's power. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father. God's power is what he's talking about in this newness of life. What we are new, come right on in. We are a new spiritual creation. We are a new spiritual creation. Right now, Tony, we are at Romans 6:4, looking at the newness of life. All right, newness of life. Now, it's called newness, and Paul uses this expression in other places, but it's called newness because we are a new spiritual creature as we've never been before. And then he talks about how, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about how it must be renewed each day with the ideal of walking by faith, constantly walking by faith. This is not a faith, people, and this fits into our whole flow. See, one act of faith, and you and I are saved eternally. But we need to renew each day walking in the Spirit. We need to renew when we are carnal, get back into walking in the newness of life. All right, the sixth one. And again, we're going to see how this ties to everything we've been seeing. Just another way of saying it. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy. Walk worthy of your calling. Now, let's take a look and then we'll talk about it. Ephesians 4:1. So let's look at Ephesians, write it down, and then let's turn, or if you take a note. Let's look at Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 4:1. All right. I, therefore, what we're looking at is the walk, as used in Scripture, walk in the Holy Spirit, walk in faith, in the light, in truth, in the newness of life, worthy of the calling. Y'all bear with me, and I know you won't mind. Tanya, walking in the Spirit is Galatians 5:16. Walking in faith is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walking in truth is walking in the light, 1 John 1:7. Walking in truth, 3 John 3. Walking in the newness of life, Romans 6:4. Now we are walk worthy of our calling, and you're right up with us. Walk worthy of the calling. Ephesians 4:1. Let's take a look at it. 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. You go through Scripture, and you've got different words of what we are in Christ, but they're all saying the same thing. This is what one thing I want to start you seeing is we're not talking about a lot of different things. What are we? We're the doulos, the slaves of the Lord. We are here the prisoner of the Lord. We are the servant of the Lord. See? So we have a lot, but they're all saying the same thing. So I'm therefore, and this should be our attitude, should be our thinking about ourselves in human relationships. I'm a servant of the Lord in this relationship. And that helps in regard to spiritual love. I'm not my own. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. This life isn't my life. I'm a prisoner. I belong to him. He purchased me with his life on the cross. Okay, 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you, encourage you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So, and just note, this is all the Spirit-filled life. By the Spirit-filled life, the Holy Spirit given to us when we accepted Christ as Savior, that's our calling, and this is what is worthy of our calling. Now look at the fruit of the Spirit. Know what he says. With all humility. What's humility? Humility is total dependency on God. That's faith. What's arrogance? Arrogance is independence of God. Humility is recognizing total dependency on God. I'm just simplifying without 50 points what these words mean so that when you see them and when you're reading Scripture, humility is total dependence. I recognize my dependency on God. All right? With all humility, gentleness, fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But so many Christians have their own agenda and will not walk worthy of the calling. Now, why is the call worthy of the calling? The call worthy of the calling because, dear people, this is how Christ walked. These are the things Christ did. What's the whole? Who is the peacemaker? Jesus Christ. He made peace between man and God. So he is. So this is what we're talking about in this study. It's powerful. Therefore, the seventh one says exactly that. Walk, in our seventh one, walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of your calling, and now worthy of the Lord. Some families still are this way, and more so in the past, but some this way. Hey, you are of this family, and I expect you to act accordingly. You know, whatever your name is, you are a McDuffie, and because you are a McDuffie, you better act this way, and I don't want you to embarrass our name. And this was very strong in a lot of families. You represent the family, and you better act according to this great name of ours, and don't you bring shame on our name. This is our name, and this is our family. Don't you go out there and mar our family. That's the concept that we have here. Walk worthy of the Lord. All right, this is Colossians. So you write it down, and then we'll look. 2:6. All right, let's take a look at Colossians 2:6. Same principle, walking in the Spirit, just another way of looking at it. Worthy of the Lord. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, so we're walking worthy of the Lord. Colossians 2:6. Let's take a look. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in the Lord. Now, does anybody see the mechanic of how to do it in that verse? What's your key word? No guess? Huh? Okay, it's faith. How did you come to that? As. He tells you. He tells you it's what we have on the board. As you therefore have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in the Lord. And He tells you how to do it. Same way you entered into Him, by faith. It's a powerful statement. I'm seeing the Spirit-filled life is right there. See? Now, 8. The 8th one. The 8th one, an interesting one, and before I write anything on the board, let's look at it. Colossians 4:5. For your 8th one, just put down Colossians 4:5 right now. It's an interesting one. Let's see if you can see it. Colossians 4:5. All right? Conduct. Now we're in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Now, the word conduct is walk. I'll tell you right now, the word to walk, conduct is walk. That's why this word refers to your daily life. Walk yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. To what does the wisdom refer? The wisdom referred to is spiritual love. Spiritual love will guide in relationship with others. And where does the spiritual help come from? It comes from faith, and the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. So if you walk yourselves with wisdom, you're walking in love. Love never fails. It's not a matter, somebody might say, okay, wisdom, that means I've got to get more what? I've got to get more doctrine. And if you don't know how to walk among strangers, that's because you don't have enough wisdom or doctrine. It's not what he's saying. It's not a matter of get more wisdom, get more knowledge, and just keep getting more and more and more. Well, the reason you're failing is because you don't have enough doctrine. That's not true. Some people have a mass amount of doctrine, but they don't have no love. No love. So they don't know how to walk. They hurt other believers. Romans, our study in Romans. So walking in the wisdom here is walking in spiritual love. All right? The ninth one. Another one. Galatians 6. Let's look at Galatians 6. Turn with me to Galatians 6. A few pages back. And if you write down for the night, put down Galatians 6:15. 6:15 and 16. Okay, Galatians 6:15 and 16. Let's take a look at what's going on. Galatians 6 is pulling together a lot of important things. This is some work I've been doing on sowing and reaping that we'll be taking a look at as far as giving us unto the Lord. And the sowing and the reaping in this chapter deal with giving. Verse 6, let the one who is taught, that's taught the scriptures, taught the word, share all good things, that's things that they receive from the Lord in their life, with him who teaches. Do not, and this is still part of that discussion, do not be deceived in the area of giving. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap in dealing with the area of the spiritual realm of giving. And then he goes through and develops that, but we'll come to that in another study. What I want you to see here, I've been working on that one, but what I want you to see here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, down here at the end, he says in verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision. Now, this is very important to Paul in the book of Galatians. He says this several times. You know, he says it in Romans 5. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but walking in faith is a great issue. Now, here he says, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision. What's he saying? Law. Law is nothing. It's not of any issue. But a new creation. And those who will walk, there's a word. And those who will walk by this rule, the rule of the new creation. See, if you follow what I'm saying, neither is circumcision or uncircumcision anything. Okay, that's law. But the law that really is important is what? The law or the rule of being a new creature in Christ. You see what I'm saying? How Paul is doing that? Hello? Okay. The word rule here is in contrast with walking by circumcision or uncircumcision, which deals with law. You don't want to walk by the law. Here's the law or the rule you're going to walk by. And that's the law or the rule of a new creature in Christ. And peace, fruit of the Spirit, mercy be upon them and upon Israel, the Israel of God. Now, what is the rule? The rule that he's talking about of the new creature is the Spirit of life, the power that we have by faith of walking in the Spirit. So this becomes crucial in understanding that all of these, where we have walk, are all basically saying the same thing from different perspectives. They're saying exactly the same thing. They're just saying it with the different writers. They're saying it in their way, emphasizing the Spirit-filled life in one way or another. So this becomes so crucial. Now, someone might ask, good question, what about doctrine? What about Scripture? Yes, we have to have doctrine, we have to have Scripture, but what are we seeing in 1 Corinthians 13 and in 1 Corinthians 8? I guide you. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, he says what? We all know. We know we all have doctrine. And you have the knowledge to know that you can eat, you have the knowledge to know that you can't, you judge him, you hurt him, and it's all a mess. People, the doctrine in our soul has to be alchemized, empowered by spiritual life. to God in its use. And that's walking in the Spirit-filled life. If you walk in the Spirit-filled life, then the knowledge, the doctrine that the Holy Spirit will lead you to becomes empowered in your life and becomes something really beautiful, not enslaving. It has to be alchemized by spiritual love. It's the spiritual love that will guide even in the use of doctrine, the use of Scripture, the use of all these things that we're talking about. Okay, let's go back now to Romans 14:15. Let's go back now. Back to what led us in on this journey. Romans chapter 14, verse 15. You are no longer walking according to love. Now, you were, but you're not. And again, there's just so many things that take us out. Some of the things that take us out, you were walking, but you're no longer walking. Well, it's just two things from my study kind of bring things together. Well, all of these studies are saying the same thing. So you're in a test, and by test I mean just a daily life. And so we get into the time factor. Time can just be so overbearing, it just causes you to stop walking in spiritual life. You did really good until mid-morning, and then boom. Or you did really good until mid-afternoon. And then boom, the time just was overwhelming, and you decided I can't walk by love anymore. Or place, just picking two things that we've dealt with because of the place you're in, and you decided I'm going to change place. So just so many things, aggravation, the way people are hurting us, the way the person's hurting or treating us, so many things that can happen. Well. People, when we get to it, this is why the first thing said about love is that it is long-suffering, and what we're going to look at is a new list of the various darts that come down and will try to give a point of suffering to our spirit-filled life, and why love has to be long-suffering, because there are so many things that are just constantly beating down on our spiritual life. Please get to thinking that so everything in our life is in the spiritual realm, people. We walk by faith. I don't care what it is. I don't care how mundane. You are in a spiritual realm. You have those eyes that can see the spiritual, not just the physical world. And this is a constant for our lives. There are no accidents in your life. There are no accidents in the people you meet in life. Things that happen in a day. That they're involved in the conflict. They're a challenge, they're a test, they're an opportunity, whatever words you want to use, for you to walk in spiritual life, to walk in faith that produces this life. So we have all these things that are beating down that will cause us to stop walking. Okay, so here we have it. You were walking, but you are no longer walking according to love. Now, if you are no longer walking according to spiritual love, put it into your soul, if not your notes. You will hurt others. Just put it down in your notes and in your soul. If I am not walking in spiritual love, if I am not walking in spiritual love, you will hurt others. I don't care who you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are, what an attractive person you are, how wonderful your personality is, you will hurt others. Mark it down. You will hurt others when you stop walking in spiritual life. Period. Because what immediately is going to take over is arrogance. Me. I want this to sink in. I'm repeating it so it'll sink in. You will. You will hurt your husband. You will hurt your wife. You will hurt your friends. You will hurt people at work. And it's arrogance. What happens here is being in 1 John 1:8 now, you can go into all the denial you want. When you're not walking in love, people, promise, you will hurt others. I don't care who you are. That's all the flesh can do. You will hurt others. So just get it into your soul. You will hurt others. You will sin. And you will sin against others, mistreat them. You will be inconsiderate of them. And one of the worst things that can happen then is what? What's one of the worst things that can happen at that point? 1 John 1:8, go into denial. Oh, I'm not hurting. I'm not hurting people. Denial. That's what 1 John 1:8 is about, people. The first thing you're going to have to do is realize, I am. I'm hurting others. I'm hurting others at home. I'm hurting others at work with my not walking in spiritual love. I'm hurting others at church, the assembly. I'm hurting others in my life, my social life, whatever life it'll be, at work, social, church, and just, you know, and I don't know what word to use, but just the general life, just interacting with people in life, filling station, whatever it is that you have to do. But I want it in your understanding, people, you will hurt others. You will hurt them with your words. That'll be your weapon. You will hurt them with your freedom, as in our study, your food. That's your weapon. You will hurt them with your authority. You will hurt them with your being right. You will hurt them. And in 1 John 1:8, if you don't see this, it becomes crucial. If I am not walking by spiritual love, I will hurt others. And I don't know how far we need to go into the examples, but you will hurt others. Faith toward God, if you have that, here we have faith directed toward God leads to love toward others. Now, take this dimension out. No longer walking in love, no longer walking by faith, this is not going to be there. And what you are going to do, you are going to hurt other people in life. For there is no faith, there is no spiritual love toward others. Just highlight. We won't take time to look at them. Once Eve stopped trusting God, she enticed her husband to sin. Once Abraham stopped trusting God, he sinned against his wife, he sinned against Hagar. I mean, he just blew it a multitude of ways. Once David stopped trusting God, Operation Bathsheba, adultery, murder, taking offenses, misuse of his authority. All of these things going on. It is going to happen. You will do this. Any of us will do this. And you have to recognize, this is why spiritual love sees when another person's wrong, but spiritual love doesn't stop at the sin. It overlooks the sin, covers a multitude of transgressions, a multitude of sins. In fact, one person says all sins, because it sees the need. And the need is to get back walking in the Spirit, get back to love. That's what it sees. But what happens with most of us is, when someone hurts us, rather than remaining in the spirit-filled life ourselves and seeing their need and why they did hurt us, we react, get out of the spirit-filled life, and in one way or another, we react. Get even, get away from them, have a fight with them, to combat with them, whatever it may be. We're going to react. And this is why spiritual love is long-suffering, because it stabilizes you in the spirit-filled life so that now you can overlook the need, the sins, overlook the hurt, because you're not hurt by it in the sense of getting out of fellowship, and you see the need and you bring them back, if at all possible. This makes sense because this is so powerful to me. This is powerful stuff that we're looking at here. So once David stopped trusting God, you can read David's life when he stopped trusting. You can read David's life when he trusted. You can read his life. As a young lad, he goes out, he's in his 20s, but he goes out and takes on a giant. You can see David's life. It's a piece of paper. You look at David's life when he's out of faith and when he's in faith. You can see spiritual love, and you can do it with every person in the scriptures and in our own life. Once Satan stopped trusting God, became independent of God, a rebellion has resulted, then the spiritual warfare came about. All because of what? Stop trusting. So mark it in your soul. Get it well indented into your soul. The idea, truly, truly, just get this into your soul. When you are not walking in love, you will hurt others. Don't, please don't go into First John 1:8. Don't go into denial. Because if you go into denial, you go through all the problems there. So you start and go back to First John 1:8. No. But don't do that. Acknowledge. I do hurt people. And I am responsible in that sense. So just get it into your mind, when I'm not walking in spiritual love, I'm not walking in faith, I'm not walking in love, I will hurt others. I will not be considerate of others, and I will hurt them. You will hurt others. When you stop trusting God, you stop walking in spiritual love. Or to put it another way, when you stop walking in faith and God the Holy Spirit, you're not walking in spiritual love, you will hurt others as well as yourself. That's two dimensions going on. You've hurt yourself, and now you hurt others for whom Christ died. And love won't permit that. So I just hope that it can be gotten into your soul that you do, we do hurt other people in a multitude of ways. And we're not walking in love. We're not walking in faith. You will hurt them. And so we have to be aware of it. You will wrong others. You will sin against others. So if you're going to live the Christ-like life, if you're going to walk according to love, then to do those things, if you want to have those type of relationships, you have to walk according to love. Now, maybe what happens is we got our various lists, and people come along and say, well, no, I got to walk according to doctrine. As I see it. And there's the big problem. See, people, you're not ever going to have the wholeness of doctrine like in 1 Corinthians 13. Understand all the mystery, the total, everything involved. You're not going to. And neither am I. You're not going to know all the total. So if I walk by doctrine, I have to assume that I walk by as I see it. As I see it. If you're going to walk by doing it right, in other words, I'm going to walk by righteousness. If I will walk by purity, then I will live a Christian life. All right, that is as I see it. Who can really understand the righteousness of God? Can anyone? We can understand the knowledge of tree of good and evil, but we can't understand the righteousness of God. Can't understand that. But a lot of people want to walk even by that. Can you really understand Scripture? Its application in every circumstance? Can you understand righteousness? And I'll even go so far, we can't even understand the love of God. We can't even understand spiritual love. Can't understand that. Now, what arrogance says, here's what arrogance says. Spiritual arrogance says, yes, I can understand doctrine and how to apply it. What arrogance? I can understand righteousness. I can understand love. This one defies understanding. This one, you go back to the law and you control and live by the law. And this one depends on knowledge. Get more, get more, get more. You got enough? No. You're handling it, you're not handling it? Get more doctrine. All of these are control. Now, what does the Lord give us? What does God give us? He gives us the Holy Spirit, and what the Scripture says is the Holy Spirit pours in, not this, not this, but He pours in this. He pours in spiritual love, and by that spiritual love, we're going to be guided in dealing with each other. We're going to be guided in that. So our phrase says, for if because of food your brother is hurt. Now, what is hurt? Hurt. And we've already studied the word. Hurt is the opposite of what? It's the opposite of edifying. It's the opposite of profiting them. means to do them harm. It's the opposite of sacrificing yourself for their benefit. This is what hurt means. It's the opposite of what love will do. Love edifies. Love profits. That's what love does. Spiritual love. And this is the opposite of it. You're no longer walking according to love. That is, you're no longer walking according to the force of love. That is the guidance of spiritual love, the impact of spiritual love, the sacrifice of spiritual love, the benefit of spiritual love, the edification of spiritual love. They're all gone. They're all gone. Even if you're trying to make them be there, you're not going to. Six power, supernatural power, God the Holy Spirit. This is a love I can't produce. This is a love He has to produce. And if I'm guided by that love, then you're going to profit others and edify others instead of hurting them, exposing the word of prayer. Okay, Heavenly Father, the moment we say amen, we're back into individual contact with others for whom Christ died. And we constantly live in that state. And we're constantly tested and challenged in that area. And home, getting to places, at work tomorrow, in the assembly, so many relationships. What's going to guide us, Father? Can we put into the computer in our brain the totality of doctrine and have it come up on the computer what to do? Can we assume that if we live according to our understanding of righteousness? No. You have freely and graciously given to us a force that will guide in every interaction with people if we will love as Christ loved us. A sacrificial love. A love that will go down on the floor and wash somebody else's feet as He did before He gave this command. Because of the humility, the humbleness of love, it's not always appealing, Father. But we pray that You will give to us that encouragement to walk in the Spirit, and that wherever love guides us, we will do it. We will be obedient to love. We praise You for the God You are in Your Son's precious name. Amen.